have your Bibles, please open them up to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. It's so good to have some folks back with us today.
Amen.
We have Bethany over here, all the way from Maui. Glad she's here, and I think we're headed out to the waitress, right? Caleb, is that next week?
Yeah.
All right, and John's still hanging in here. He is waiting this afternoon. He doesn't need it, John. Make sure Mom and Dad are here. God is going to be a great lesson for all of us about courage, okay? So let's begin in verse 1. You can follow along or you can just look at the map. I'm going to be going both because you know I'm doing the right thing. So in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, these kings made war. Here they are. These kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinar, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Savoyim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. And all these joined forces. hear about, a friend, whatever, some good advice. And what did they do? They didn't want to listen. That's okay, it's your choice. And realizing that that choice is going to have consequences, at least you did, you had to at some point let that go, right? What can you do? They're their own person. So they made their choice and they started walking their own path. And you're observing, and you're praying, and you're hearing some things. Maybe you hear, oh, now they're hanging around the people at Sodom. And you're going, oh man, this can't be good. All right. You start praying again. And then it happens. You know it's going to happen because probably in your life sometime you were on that end, right? You didn't listen all the time or you did things that you shouldn't know. And it gets to this. Lots of trouble. This is his brother's son. This is family. And rather than just draw conclusions and start giving lectures, what does he choose to do? Because Lot was most likely in the wrong, definitely the wrong place, the wrong time. You can't say that. What does he do? He chooses passion. I think that takes courage to do that. Strength and courage. Rather than just toss stones and throw spears at him, maybe deservingly so, courageously, he's going to face this situation because by choosing that, he's pulling himself into war. So he decided he didn't want to be a judge. He didn't tell Lot, take your bed, and you made your bed now. You're lying. He didn't say that to him. He didn't gossip and talk with others who were not really part of the solution, probably in a prayer meeting or something. He didn't ignore it. Like, well, whatever. He showed compassion. How do we know this? That's the second idea. We know he's courageous because he chose compassion, but he also chose action. He chose action. It's one thing to have compassion and sorrow and concern. It's another thing to take the next step. What are you going to do about it? That takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of prayer. Because depending on the situation, you get how far you go. I think the story, though, is for our understanding to realize we must engage. We must help and reach out. So here we have Lot. He's got these issues going on with his nephews. He doesn't ignore it. He gets involved. It's a big idea. Simply, his godly character displays courage in conflict. I'll say it again. Godly character will display courage in conflict, willing to do the hard thing. Courage really is compassion. we go one step more and we get back here, the Bible tells us that while you and I were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us.
Amen.
He showed compassion. Do you think that it didn't take courage for Christ to go to a cross? Do you think there wasn't any emotion involved? Or would it read the gospel? Read about that prayer meeting with his father just a few hours earlier. About all those human fears that just pour in. Jesus knows your fears. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows your frustrations, right? He gets it. He gets us. He understands it. And he calls us, despite all of that, to be courageous. What does that mean? To live the life of Christ in a God way, in the community, in the generation we've been called to live in. And that will mean there will be conflict. It's going to happen. But you don't have to fear the conflict. You don't have to say, well, I don't want to cross the street and talk to my neighbor, or go across the hall and talk to my co-worker, or whatever it is, or my friend that I've been praying for, you know, 40 years. It means you and I can do that through the courageous power of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge that He is with us. We can be courageous and show mercy and compassion on those who, by the way, have been taken captive by sin. They are being led up a false path. And what do we have to do? More than pray. Like Abraham, did you see the other arrow? He started chasing them. He started going after them. God help me to do that. God help us to do that. What can we do? Well, first we can pray for the captives that are all around us. Verse 52:1. First of all, then I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people that would be saved and lost. they will be courageous and charge, taking, setting the captives free. Would you bow, please? Without eyes closed, and given our marching orders, we can be fully confident that the orders that God has given to us can be fulfilled, because Scripture tells us that you and I in Christ are more than conquerors. Now we call upon my brothers and sisters here as we walk in faith together on this side of heaven. Who knows how much longer that's going to be? The Lord can come today, that would be fine. But until then, we've got a lot of enemies. A lot of enemies taking people, got their minds blinded with lies, cultures going the wrong direction, people are following the wrong leaders. The enemy's come to destroy, but Christ has come to free. And may you and I make a decision right now that we're going to continue our prayer time, we're going to continue our concern time, but we're also going to be willing to fix the mess in charge, and to engage with humility and love and spirit of faithfulness to our Savior. Engage both Christians and non-Christians with the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. May he use us to capture back more than 400 that are lost. Our Father in heaven, as we're all making our own choices today, I suppose in one sense, we're in a position Abram was when that guy that ran to him and said, "Lot's been captured. He's taken the enemy king, he's taken many people with him. They're headed north." That's where we sit. I think we know where the captives are. I don't think that's really the issue. What are we doing, Father? Are we going to stay in our tents, or are we going to fold them up and say, "Guys, gals, let's go. Let's charge. Help us to do this, Lord," because that's exactly what you did when you brought us in faith in Jesus. You set us online. You sent your word. Someone opened the Bible and shared with us how we can know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that salvation only comes by trusting in him, his death, burial, and resurrection. For Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. For it is by grace we're saved through faith. That's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one boasts. This is the Lord. He was courageous.